Do you feel like it's possible to find joy and positive change within veterinary medicine? Are you looking for a community that's striving for fulfillment rather than perfection? Hey there, I'm Dr. Stacy Cordovano, and I want veterinarians to learn to be happier, healthier, wealthier, and more grateful for the lives that we've created. On this podcast, I will speak with outside-of-the-box thinkers to hear new ideas on ways to improve our day-to-day life. Welcome to The Whole Veterinarian. I'm so excited for today's episode because I really feel like this discussion and idea could be a game changer for a lot of people in vet med. So today's guest is Dr. Karen Bolton. She is an experienced large animal veterinarian who transitioned to business while accidentally switching to small animal medicine as well. She now wields an MBA in business management, and she's on a mission to decrease our struggles within the veterinary field through education and innovation. From using technology to increase our efficacy to sharing business education nuggets on Instagram, Karen is dedicated to supporting professionals who are looking to amplify profits, improve employee compensation, attract more clients, and refocus on the aspects of practice that you truly love. That is an amazing mission, and we can all get benefit from that for sure. You can find Karen on social media at The Business Vet and through her website, thebusinessvet.com. I'll make sure to put all those links in the show notes because her website is where you're going to learn more about our discussion today. So today we get to dive into Karen's experience using ChatGPT to improve the speed and efficiency and correctness of her medical records. She is providing a course that will teach people how to do this really quickly because I know a lot of people out there are struggling with this. So if you're struggling with your medical records or if you have an associate that is struggling to keep up with records, this is the episode for you, and Karen's course is well worth the investment. So listen in, let us know what you think, and go check out more from The Business Vet. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Karen, how are you? I'm so glad that you're here with me today.
Thank you for having me.
We've been friends online for a long time, so I'm really excited to have you on because I know you have a wealth of information to offer. But when I saw your video about using ChatGPT for medical records, I was like, this is it. This needs to be shared. So first, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So my name's Karen Bolton. I'm a Buckeye. So when I graduated from vet school, I was equine, as you know, and hardcore equine. I was the president of the equine club, and I went straight into an equine internship at another university. And that was 2010 when I left my internship, which was a horrific time to find a job, mm-hmm. if you remember.
Oh, I do. That's when Clay Creek Equine was founded.
Yeah. So I lucked out through one of my classmates. I found someone who had just bought kind of like a satellite clinic down in South Carolina. And I was like, oh, no winters anymore. That would be much nicer. But the summers are pretty horrific. So I'm glad to no longer be working outside in the summer. Sorry to all the equine people. So after a couple of years working for my boss, who was up in North Carolina instead, I kind of got frustrated, and there was a lot of things I wanted to do. And I was like, okay, I'm either leaving or you're selling me the clinic. He's like, okay. So that was probably a bit of a red flag. And I just did it all on my own, just kind of figured things out as I went. In hindsight, there was a lot of things I should have done differently and better. Mm-hmm. But I think most of us who start clinics were like, we're going to do good medicine and it'll all just work itself out. But that's actually not how it works. But that's how most vets start their practices. But yeah, the longer I worked, I think it was about 8 years into owning the clinic, I just really got more interested in the business side. I just try to figure things out and make things better. And I had an associate at that point. And like, as you understand, you can't do it all. Like, I want to take time to learn things and improve things. And you can't do all of that all the time and practice all the time too, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. with the on-call. So I actually sold my clinic to her. I'd already started taking business classes at that point, but I was one of those people who got into that school a year early and I didn't have my bachelor's, and none of the MBA programs understood that. It like blew their mind. So I had to finish up my bachelor's again.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And that was at the very beginning of COVID. Then COVID happened that same spring and everything was confusing. So I ended up doing my MBA online at that point, which worked out nicely. And I think I finished that about a year ago. So, and then during all that, I started working for my neighbor, who's a small animal vet. As I told you, I offered to do just vaccines because I don't know anything about small animals. And I really, you know, I was that equine person that never in a billion freaking years am I going to do small animals. No way. And I kind of just accidentally slowly slid into it. Before I knew it, I was employed full time and I was like working on cats. And honestly, I kind of enjoy cats now. They remind me a lot of horses. Well, and I know they said that in vet school, but truly they're flighty. You have to handle them very carefully. But yeah, so that's how I ended up in a small animal practice accidentally. But as I'm doing that, it's been interesting to see a different side of practice, you know, especially, you know, how small animal practice works. It's so different in many ways. There's a lot of things that I've learned that in like looking back to my practice, I was like, oh crap, I should have done that. I know we talked about like pricing differences. Like I make a lot more money now, but it's also because they charge more. And, you know, it's a sustainability thing. And you just feel a lot better when you're getting compensated for literally killing yourself. Mm-hmm. And actually, now I'm going to whisper this. I'm not killing myself now.
Good to hear. That's good to hear.
But recently, though, now that I've kind of gotten more of the learning small animal medicine under my belt, I'm starting to branch out and try to learn how to improve like the flow of things. I'm not getting a lot of, I guess, leeway from management to like change bigger things within the practice, but I know what I can do is change things that I personally do. And then with my team, I have two technicians right now. So I just try to keep improving what I'm doing. And that is how I happen upon the ChatGPT thing.
Yeah. Okay. So ChatGPT is, I mean, I'm limited on this. It's an artificial intelligence powered, like, I don't know, machine. Do you like,
it's truly a mystery. Yeah. I truly don't have my brain completely wrapped around all the ins and outs. I can tell you a few things though. So clearly it's artificial intelligence. It is based on language models, which if you ask me what that is, well, please don't ask me. I'm not really sure. But basically these language models pull from data, like a giant, giant data set. I don't think it's like literally every website in the world, but it is based on a very, very large amount of data. And the end result, the output is basically text that sounds like a person. And oh my God, it's so smart. The very first time I put a prompt in, I was just blown away. I mean, it is just, oh my God, it's great.
Yeah. I haven't actually used ChatGPT, but I've used the AI writing through Canva. And even that is like a little bit mind-boggling. Like we had to write a press release and I was like, I don't actually know the format for a press release.
And doesn't matter. They know.
I said, like, can you write a press release for da 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 da? And I was like, oh, wow. I had to change like four words.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like dipping my toe in and realizing how helpful this can be in certain aspects. And so for you in this particular case, you are using it to help with medical records, right? Mm-hmm. So how did that like come to be how you kind of focused that?
So I will say the patient load in small animal medicine, because you don't have to drive, and it is quite a bit. So I probably see anywhere from probably 10 to 20 patients a day. You know, every day is a little bit different with emergencies and stuff. Mm-hmm. I told you that by April was just, I could barely even cope. I had a lot of really crazy emergencies. It's all started with a puppy that had gotten exposed to heroin.
Oh.
So that was the tipping point. And then like three more horrible, weird puppy toxicity things. And then I had two animals that fell off of balconies.
Oh my God.
I live in Myrtle Beach, which is a tourist destination with very tall buildings. Mm-hmm. One of those survived, the other one didn't. And that was just like this cascade of horrific emergencies. So that month I was just absolutely drowning. As I told you, every single second of my day when I wasn't taking patients, I was working on records and I still couldn't keep up. when I would hit the weekend, and my weekend for me is like the second half of Saturday, which honestly, I was just going home and sleeping. I was so freaking tired. So that Sunday and Monday, that all of my free time, I was spending catching up on records. And sometimes I still wasn't getting caught up. So I had to figure out a different way. The corporation that owns my clinic, and I'm not going to say the corporation name, but, and honestly, I don't have a lot of problems with them, but our actual clinic, it's kind of independently managed to a degree. So the corporation doesn't say, hey, you all have access to dictation software. It's made on a clinic to clinic basis. Mm. Like they have to explain where their expenses are going. So I asked them, I was like, can I do the free trial? Because the corporation has two different softwares they have access to or have deals with or something. Mm-hmm. And it took them a couple of weeks to get back to me. And they said, yeah, you can do the free trial, but you know, we can't justify paying for the actual service. And that was frustrating because as I told you before, I had made $90,000. I'd produced $90,000 the previous month. So if for an entire year, that would have cost, you know, $1,000 or so. I just didn't understand how I did not prove that mm-hmm. I could pay for that.
Yeah.
So
that's frustrating.
That weekend, I took the giant pile of records that I had and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to figure out ChatGPT. I'd literally never been on it before. And I like staying up to date on, you know, a lot of things, but especially on the technology side. And I was like, oh God, I'm getting behind on this. Like everyone's figuring it out. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. So that whole weekend, it was just trial and error, like over and over and over again until I found something that worked okay enough. I've definitely perfected it more since then. It's never going to be perfect, which is kind of a separate topic. But so I felt like I had something I could work with when I went back to work on Tuesday. And since then, especially as I've improved it and with improving the input, the prompt, I'm not having to change so much after it gives me the output. But I timed it for actually for the video in my course, literally 50% as long to do my records wow. versus typing. So basically I dictated actually like into the input spot. I am getting braver and braver about I'm not correcting any typos, like nothing. I am letting it be one giant paragraph and it works. It's just magic. It does exactly what I want it to do. And it can figure out like some of the weirdest words. It's not perfect, but like Apoquel, like my phone, the talk to text has no idea what Apoquel is. It says whatever. I mean, if it can figure out that, it can figure out many of the drug names. It just, it understands. It understands the ridiculous typo and can figure out that it's what it's supposed to be. So I will say also, I'm a lot less exhausted, not even from the idea of dictating and not having to type, but with the typing, there's like a certain level of decision fatigue mm-hmm. that goes along with it too. Yep. So it's very easy to dictate. I don't have to think very hard. I can just, you know, look at my notes and just, you know, just dictate it. Whereas with typing, it's like, well, you know, how do I need to word this? Like, you know, even though I like computers, I'm not the best typer. I'm not crazy fast. And I don't know. That's probably an embarrassing admission, but.
Yeah, right. I mean, any step that you can remove.
Yeah.
If you're already feeling overwhelmed, feels like a big win, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned a course, but you have a course. It's very inexpensive. I'm working my way through it. So far it's great. So we're going to make sure people have a link to that. But mm-hmm. like without kind of explaining the whole course, give me a little bit more information. So you like put in a prompt, it responds, and then are you like copying and pasting that? Does this work for any veterinary software? Like, is this going to be user-friendly for pretty much anyone in any clinic?
Yeah, if you know how to copy and paste things, you can do it. So we use ImperMed, and ImperMed, it doesn't force you into a certain format, but obviously it's the SOAP. Mm-hmm. But like in the objective section, you can like pre-populate it with kind of some defaults. So I basically use the default in that section to enter how I want it, the output provided from ChatGPT. The assessment section is, you know, that's kind of free form. And then the plan section for that one, I kind of decided how I wanted things set up. And it's honestly, the output, it all looks a lot prettier than I used to do. Like I am a very particular person. I like bullet points. I don't like giant run on, you know, giant paragraphs. Like I like things to be easily visible. And what it's giving me is even better than what I did before. So I kind of just figured out like a new format that I'm using for the plan. And it's truly very consistent record to record now. So I've actually liked that part. I've been learning how to make things better in my record too.
Yeah, great. So you're thinking it's about like a 50% reduction in time once you kind of figured out what you needed to say to it.
I think I've timed a couple. Realistically, I have not typed any record since I figured it out. So the one I did for my video was actually me just talking about my own dog.
Oh, got it. So like in theory, it could actually be longer for like a patient that you're not super comfortable with.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think in my video, I had the picture of my handwritten notes and I start off well-intentioned, like, oh, I have like my diagnostics in this list and my treatments in this list. And then things start getting more and more complicated. And then I'm writing all over the paper. And like, those are the ones that I especially, I mean, it makes sense, but I would have a really hard time putting into the record via typing because I had to like go back and like figure out what my flow on the paper was. But those are the ones that I am just flying through just because I can, well, I'm getting them done right away, first of all. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to like go back and remember what was going on. But those especially have been, I really need to time this, but I can imagine I'm probably going more than twice as fast mm-hmm. on those. And I think that comes into the decision fatigue thing too.
Yeah.
I've got an idea. I want you to give me a question, like anything, and I will enter it in and we'll see what it says. It might be lengthy. It depends on what the question is.
Like a case question or like a signalment or what?
You could do that. I will say with any of the medical stuff, like even the output on that is pretty darn good, but I still do a lot of reading over it and making sure it's, you know, what I wanted to say. Give me like a management question.
Oh.
Something that you're stressing out about.
Okay. How would I train a part-time office person to help with the administration of a veterinary practice?
Okay. So I typed, how would I train a part-time office assistant to help with the management duties of a veterinary practice? Okay. And I even have typos in there and I'm just going to leave them. Okay. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. We got a bullet point list coming already. I should have put a word limit on it. There's so many limitations you can do. I should have said like, hey, in 4 sentences, but okay. So far it says it requires a mix of general administration skills, training, and industry specific understanding. Here are a few steps you can follow to train your new assistant. So introduction to veterinary practice, and it has a whole description of that. Office operation, walk them through location of key resources, facilities, and equipment they need to use. Role specific training, train them on specific tasks, appointment scheduling, maintaining records, billing, client communication. Oh God, it's still going. I'm falling off the screen now.
Okay. So I get the like educational part, I think. Mm-hmm. And this is where I wish I'd gone through your entire course before we talked, maybe, but maybe listeners have the same question. How does it translate though to like a medical record? Like I get the educational part and the asking it a question. How does it translate to the medical record speeding up?
Yeah. So I done a little bit of trial and error on this, mainly the dictation part. So at first I was thinking that when I dictated it into my phone, which is an Apple phone, I thought it was a little bit more accurate than when I dictated it into my desktop, which is a Windows. But the more I realize is it's so good at figuring out typos and weird talk to text issues that it's still pretty good. So sometimes if I'm at work and like I just needed to change a few things or just enter in something short, I've started trying to dictate that right into the record. But because of all the typos, it is wasting a lot more time. So it's like, I have to go back and fix those typos then. Whereas with ChatGPT, it fixes all those for you. The other thing that it does is once you figure out how to give it directions for the format that you want, like I said, I can just dictate almost stream of consciousness, not have to do anything. Like I don't have to make new paragraphs. I don't have to make bullet points or spaces. It will just analyze all that and then go back to the format that you told it to make. Mm. So like for instance, in the objective section, the way ours is set up at work, you got weight, temp, heart rate, respiratory rate, then a space. I added in like a behavior section. Then you kind of get into the organ systems. and then like in-house diagnostic things. And this is the trial and error part. It took me a while to figure out how to get that exact format that I wanted. Mm-hmm. But the more I figure it out, the more it is like just that giant paragraph that I'm saying with all the typos, it throws it into that format and I don't have to do anything.
Okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So the stream of consciousness idea is helpful. So you're kind of stream of consciousness reciting a dictation and then it cleans it up for you. And that's the time saved. Okay. Yes. Got it.
Yeah. I mean, if you even just think, and now that I'm going back and occasionally typing things into a soap, how much time does it take me to go from one line, grab the mouse, and then just click down to the next, and then click down to the next? Like even things like that, I'm like, oh my God, that is a waste of time. Like when you can just, like I can be like behavior, B-A-R, like, and mm-hmm. just kind of just talk in like one giant sentence about everything I found wrong with this animal. That's really where a lot of the time saving comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. We use DaySmart and it would definitely work for that. I wonder, I don't know, do some small animal people do their records as they're going, like in office? Like clearly that's not a thing for us horse people, but
yeah.
So this would for sure work for equine records. I do wonder, do small animal, I feel like some small animal people do that.
Yeah. So I just keep trying to make my life easier and asking things over and over of the management, like, could I please have at least like a laptop to take in the room? And that took maybe a year for them to do that. So then they finally gave me a laptop and I used to take it into the room. And it turned out that laptop was so slow, it couldn't deal with our medical record system. So I, after like a month or so of trying that, I gave up on it. Like it was actually taking more time. And that was, I mean, I know desktop computers in general, you can get a lot more power for, you know, what they are, but that was the issue that I was running into. They finally gave me a laptop and it just, couldn't it was that. Just not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely applicable in a lot of settings. Great. Okay. So tell listeners a little bit more about the course.
Yeah. So the way I set up the course is I wanted someone who has zero knowledge of AI, of ChatGPT to figure out where to go, because that honestly is confusing to how to even find the correct website. Mm-hmm. They do have an app as of this week, but they didn't have an app before. There is a lot of AI apps that you can find through your phone that are based on ChatGPT, but I have not looked in them that much. And I didn't trust them. So I was just going through the website. I wanted to make sure I was not going into something weird. But so the very first part is, you know, how do I find ChatGPT? How do I set up an account? How do I they call them a chat. How do I make a new chat? And then what are the settings that you have to pick? They always seem to have a couple different models going on, and then they'll get rid of like the oldest one. And then there's like beta features that you can start testing out. So that's kind of the first one. The second one is kind of just showing people like, this is how, you know, my personal records are set up, not even showing them how to do it through ChatGPT. So it's going to be different for everyone. You kind of just have to think about, you know, your record system. How do you like to do your records? Mm-hmm. The third one is, how do I make the prompt? Like there's a lot of different things that you can do to make it do what you want. Mainly the more specific you are, the better results you'll get. So I kind of go through how I have my particular prompt set up right now, although I swear to God, day by day, it's changing and improving. And I also provide a copy of that in case anyone wants to use it. So that's kind of a boring, lengthy video, but it's important though, because that's how you get the input.
Sure.
Anyone who likes computers, and I know I mentioned to you, it kind of reminds me of coding. So you don't need to know how to code. Although actually, I think a lot of coders are using ChatGPT to not have to learn anything that do now and to figure out issues. But it reminds me of coding in that with like when I used to do HTML, I'd enter like, you know, a few coding things. You load the website and you're like, oh, well, that's screwed up. Like I have to go back and find what I messed up and then change that one thing and then load it again. So it's trial and error. Mm-hmm. And that's the time consuming part. And you also have to go back and figure out where the issue is. But I've started learning more things about how to create prompts that will get what you want, especially in terms of consistency. And there's also different speech techniques. So there's like a humorous one that you can ask for, or a business or professional one, or academic.
Like tone of voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So for instance, for the behavior section, like I'll say things like, she was a good girl. And of course, I never use that lightly. But when I left it as like academic tone, it would be like, she behaved in a very friendly manner. She really enjoys dairy-based products. So I was able to change just for that line into something that I liked. But just to be clear, you do not need to know coding. You do not need to know anything about computers. You just need to know how to talk and to read. And it just takes trial and error until you get what you want. So I'm hoping what I provide to people there will save them some of the trial and error. And I've even tweaked it more since then and got even better results. But yeah, it's
great.
It's been,
I mean, it's what? Is it six little videos?
I think it's five. I think I'm going to actually add in another one that's talking about like the legal aspects of things. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been getting questions about that. I'll be honest about that. I think it's a little bit of a wild west right now. Mm-hmm. I've checked into the AVMA Code of Ethics, the Practice Act for my state, like specifically, well, I read through the whole thing, to be honest.
Yeah, you just to have see to what to it find covered. Anything,
yeah. Yeah, but there's nothing about AI there, obviously. I mean, it's so new.
Is the concern like putting people's information in? Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. Like, I mean, there's no feedback from veterinary anything right now about AI because it's just so new. Mm-hmm. So what I was trying to figure out, like, you know, I am not putting any identifiable information in there. I'm not putting the client's name. I'm not putting the patient's name. The only thing that I'm doing is just our internal record number, just so that when I dictate a bunch into the row, I can just go back and figure out, you know, oh, that's that one. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'm just doing the SOAP only. I'm making sure their name is not within the SOAP. The client's name is not within the SOAP. So I'm trying to do my best due diligence on it to use something that's working very well for me, but hopefully not breaching mm-hmm. confidentiality issues. Yeah. The other thing you can do, and it's tricky to find this, is there is an opt-out form. They say that they don't take any identifiable information for their learning system, but there is an opt-out form saying, hey, I don't want to be included in this at all. Mm. So that's definitely something that I've done. But, you know, to be honest, do I fully trust that it's confidential right now? I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm trying my best to make it work for me, but make sure that you don't enter any personally identifiable information in it. I have looked at, like I said, I looked at the AVMA Code of Ethics. I'm trying to look at other states as well. And certainly different states have different strictness levels with their practice acts. I can't find any that, and obviously I haven't looked through all 50, mm-hmm. nothing that talks about, I guess, almost like partial medical records, like anonymized ones. Like, I don't know. So I'm doing my best with what I have right now.
Yeah, I can't imagine much would be like those things seem to move so slowly anyway. And
yeah,
I mean, ChatGPT was just 2022 that it came out, right? Like, I can't imagine that anybody's moving.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm doing right now. I mean, it's for me, it's a balancing act. If I can't keep up, mm-hmm. it doesn't even matter if I don't even have records, period.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, I would think the hurdle from people is like, I don't have time to learn it. But I think that's like, that's why I was trying to highlight, like, whether it's five or six little videos from you, that will get you over the hurdle to at least try this and see if it might help you as well.
Yeah. And I wanted to make this to kind of take a lot of the trial and error out of it. And I think I'll probably keep updating it as I update it and at least add my new prompt that I'm using. I probably will update it even a week after making the video. It's just, you know, that's how fast I'm learning how to use it better. So
I think it's such a great way to increase well-being. I mean, like I said earlier, I have a couple of people just in my small group of cohorts right now that are really struggling with records, and it really affects like your quality of life. It's not a joke. So I think that it's awesome that you're helping people over this hurdle for sure. Where can people find more information or find out about you or chat with you?
Yeah. So my primary social media platform is Instagram. I'm at The Business Vet on basically all of them. So I'm trying to step into TikTok, although the young whippersnappers are better at it than me.
Yeah. That's another big hurdle, I feel like.
I am on Facebook, but that's my most neglected one right now. But my website is thebusinessvet.com, and that's where the actual course is. It's through there.
Great. Yeah. And I'll put a link to that as well. Thanks so much for your time. And I am excited to get this out to people so it can become a better resource or a more widely recognized resource. I ask all my guests, what is one small thing that has brought you joy this past week besides ChatGPT?
Honestly, I think it honestly has a lot to do with that. Like, I actually have my weekends back, and just being able to just take, like, being able to do my dishes and do my laundry and not be like really late at night. And hey, like my cat's in the background, like I can actually play with my cats or, you know, play with my animals, and just having my life back. Yeah. I mean, that's really what the past few weeks have been for me.
That's big. I mean, it is big. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much for creating this. Thanks for taking the time to explain a little bit about it. And I'll be sure to send people your way, because I think this is so cool. And I can't wait to finish the course, because I got to say, my medical records are brief. So I'm hoping to actually use this to get a little more detailed. So
yeah,
cool. Thank you so much, Karen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Whole Veterinarian Podcast. I so appreciate the time that you spend with me. To connect, please find me on Instagram at The Whole Veterinarian, or check out the website at thewholeveterinarian.com, and you can sign up for our monthly newsletter as well. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon.